and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives. How's it going? 4th of July weekend's going to happen, Riley. It's going to happen. This is a Friday before it. How you feeling, man? 3-day weekend. I can't wait, my friend.
You can't wait till 9 o'clock today? Because that's when your 3-day weekend starts.
That's right. I'm going to hang out all weekend and do nothing. I'm going to clean up. I'm going to sit around with my cats and wondering what the hell went wrong with my life. Anyways, here we go.
Wait a minute. Why would you do that?
Dude, my apartment has become a fear factor. Let me tell you what happened. I don't get many of these in Astoria, but I woke up in one of those giant Chinese water beetles.
Monster beetles.
I don't get those in my apartment. Well, surprise, hello this morning. How are you? What is that on my ceiling? A 3-inch bug on my ceiling. And I'm no wuss. I'm not. You know, I can handle it. I got prepared. So I got the broom out. I'm getting ready to take on the big roach. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I hit it with the broom. And now it wedged itself behind my window frame. So now it's just sitting there. I don't know what's going on with it. I got to wait for my cat.
Alive or dead?
It's alive. I don't know. I didn't check up
comatose?
On it.
Comatose?
What do I know?
Critically injured?
I haven't hooked a life support system because I'm an extreme liberal, you know, and I'm just sort of like, I don't want to hurt the bug. I better put it in and hook up the life support system.
Oh, my God.
I'm being bad.
See,
already.
Now you're going to start with the Terry Schiavo stuff.
No. Yes, Christian groups are out in front of my apartment.
Let it live. Let it live.
Don't kill the bug. The bug has okay, look. Look, how do we digress so quickly? In New York City, please, folks, for our listeners in New York City, city officials are recommending that you boil your drinking water after heavy thunderstorms left high levels of particles in your water supply. I think particles read poo.
Why are you going to say poo?
The recommendation applies mainly to people with immunity problems. They're just saying that because of the rain, I don't know what they'll... I'm not going to sit here and parse or speculate, but there is a warning that if you can drink bottled water, do it for a couple of days. If not, boil the water you get out of the tap because apparently the reservoirs got a little backed up and there's bacteria going on. You don't want to spend your July 4th weekend, you know, in the bathroom.
No.
Here we go. Last month, we were urging people to donate to a sleepaway camp for poor kids from the Bronx. Last week, we learned that the youth clubs that were operating the camp and taking the donations were shutting down. Not long after that, it was reported that the clubs are under investigation by city officials. So needless to say, we ended our promotion of the camp as soon as we heard this, and we recommend that all of you stop donating to the clubs, at least until all this gets worked out. If you already donated money, you have two options. If we don't hear from you, your donation will go to other organizations that help disadvantaged city kids, or you can contact us by email at sedition@airamericaradio.com, and we'll arrange for your reimbursement. Obviously, we're disappointed. We're sorry about all this, and we'll pass on any more relevant information when we can. Okay? That's done. On July 4th and 5th, a coalition of groups, including the Center for Constitutional Rights and the Culture Project, will be staging rallies to call for the closure of the camp at Guantanamo Bay. We'll be talking with Michael Ratner in just a little while from the CCR later this morning, and he's going to give us some details on that. There, that's some business out of the way. What do you got planned for the big weekend, Riley?
Oh, it is a big weekend for me. I'm going to do a little father-daughter bonding today. I'm taking my daughter to the Meadowlands State Fair, the only state fair in America that is in a parking lot.
Really?
Yeah, in Jersey.
Is it a big one?
Yeah, it is.
I used to go to the New Mexico State Fair all the time. I used to love going to the New Mexico
State Fair.
Well,
it's not big like that. Look, now, state fairs in other parts of the country are gigantic affairs. They take up acres upon acres of land. In this area, a state fair can be something that happens in a vest pocket park in New York. So in Jersey, they actually take a section of the Giant Stadium parking lot,
uh-huh,
and they turn it into a fairground. They got pig races and everything.
Oh, that's wild. I used to go there. You go to the agriculture exhibit. They had a sideshow when I was growing up. I was fascinated with human oddities, my friend.
Bearded ladies.
Well, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I'd go to the state fair when I was like 11, and I'll never forget this. I must have been like 11 or 12, and I went to see the guy with the biggest feet. I swear to God, I went to see the guy with the biggest feet. You go into this trailer, and there's some guy sitting there. He's sitting there wearing a loincloth.
Yeah.
All right? And he must have had elephantiasis or something to the feet, because these feet were all deformed, and they were huge. They were like the size of shoeboxes.
Yeah.
And the toes were all deformed and stuff. And you're just sitting there. He's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, I'm all right. Man, those feet are screwed.
Feet. Yeah.
Then he goes, you want to touch it? And I'm like, no, I don't want to touch your feet. And I left. It was traumatizing. Then there was a time with the wild. There was another freak. I don't want to call it freak.
Another freak. Here we go.
Well, that's how they build themselves in the old days. I want to be sensitive. She was called the Wild Woman of the Cajun Bayou.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you go up and you walk up this ramp to the trail. Have I told you this story?
No.
So I walk in and to see this wild woman of the Cajun Bayou. And there's this woman who had some sort of dwarfism. She was very small. And I walk up and she's just sort of quietly making her bed with her back turned to me because she's got a little bed in there. And then she like looks over her shoulders and sees me standing there. And she's like, okay. And she walks over to the corner and picks up this giant snake and just comes up to the glass and goes, yeah. And I'm like, all right. I'm sorry to bother you. All right. Let's, here we go.
God, I love carnivals.
State fairs, gotta love them. 42%, my friends, you read this. Zogby poll released today say 42% of Americans say they would favor impeachment proceedings if President Bush misled the nation about the reasons for going to war with Iraq. I mean, this, Riley, this along with the polls showing that 60% of Americans believe that Bush has no plan for winning or exit strategy or anything. All of us know that this was the wrong war then. It's the wrong war now. And now it looks like, as you said, in relation to the speech the other night,
no bounce.
No bounce at all. Understandably.
The same Zogby poll says that his approval rating actually declined after the speech. And when you talk about the impeachment question mark, there's some very interesting kind of inside the numbers stuff here. The east and west coasts of the United States have a majority of people in the Zogby poll who favor impeachment. It's the South and the Midwest that is lopsided in the other direction.
No kidding. The South and Midwest. Who knew?
South and the Midwest. Yeah. In the Great Lakes, central part of the country, is 52 to opposed, 38 in favor of impeachment. However, in the West, 52% favors Congress using the impeachment mechanism, while only 41% are opposed. In the Northeast, or I'm sorry, in the Eastern states, 49 in favor, 45 opposed.
This is great news. This means that people are waking up. The sham is not holding. The talking points, the attempt to give everyone different information to confuse people. Good, decent Americans are seeing through the crap, Riley.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we're seeing on a big scale. And I think, you know, obviously it's about time. I hope it's not too late. I'd like to say it's not too late.
Well, you know, I think that, another interesting part of this, Mark, is that a majority of people who were polled in the Zogby poll nationwide had not heard about the Downing Street memos. So this cannot be ascribed to the fact that the Downing Street memos is out here in the ether. People are starting to buy this stuff just in and of itself.
See that? When the fear resides in the culture, and people start to follow their instincts, because that's why a lot of people voted for Bush to begin with, because they were paralyzed with fear, because there were terror alerts every 5 seconds, which, as we know, just translated to, it's orange, vote for Bush.
Yeah.
But now that fear has subsided a lot culturally, and who knows if they're going to start doing terror alerts again just to jack it up, but now that the fear has subsided, people are starting to trust those other instincts that aren't related to fear, trusting the instincts of like, hey, what's really going on? Who are these guys really? I don't believe this anymore. This is disingenuous. This is a lie.
This is going to scare the bejesus out of members of Congress, who also got slammed in the Zogby poll, by the way. And in recent polling across the board, Americans think Congress is just sitting around doing nothing. And that's going to translate into some serious problems next year if too many of these Republican members of Congress who are up for reelection end up hitching their wagon to George W. Bush. And that's the political calculus that is leading guys like Walter Jones to talk about a troop pullout out of Iraq.
That's where we're going to get him, Riley. We're going to get him, like, with all the Republicans going, wait, he's not going to help us. What do we do now?
Yep.
Lose. How about lose? just a second, we're going to share with you some classic Rumsfeldies.
Oh, yeah.
Rumsfeldies. We're also going to talk a bit about the one-time magazine reporter, one New York Times reporter, Judith Miller, Matthew Cooper. Time, Inc. just turned over the stuff.
Gave it up.
Could you imagine being Matthew Cooper, the reporter who was holding on for all this time, holding on to his integrity, saying, I'm not going to reveal my sources. Then your boss, your editor goes, sorry, here, we're just going to. It's like he must feel infantilized. He must have that moment where you're like, Mom, You know what I mean?
Well, I think there's some very daunting implications in this.
We're going to get into it in just a second, so stay with us. That's what we're going to be talking about. It is almost, yes, right now, 16 past the hour. It's Friday. I hope you're doing all right out there. I hope you're having a good morning, getting jacked up, because we're ready to talk, okay? It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program with Mark and Mark. Coming up next, more stuff with us. Yes.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Antidrug. To learn more, call 1-800-788-2800 or visit theantidrug.com.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. It's the 4th of July weekend. Be careful. Don't pack your colon with meat because there might be mad cow in it. I'm not saying to get alarmed.
Oh, no.
But later in the show, much later, depending on what you have to do with your morning, I would hang out if I were you. Because Eric Schlosser, the author of Fast Food Nation, is going to be on the phone with me and Riley, and he's pissed. All right, so we're going to get to the bottom of something, man. This is confusing stuff. Second mad cow case shows up in Texas dead at a pet food factory. They don't know where it came from, why it was dead, but they knew enough to send it out for testing. The whole thing is cryptic and weird. It's Beefgate, folks. It's a cover-up, I'm telling you. Listen, we know that a lot of people are going to go see the new War of the Worlds movie this weekend, but let's be honest, folks. It's a bloated summer blockbuster that's gotten mediocre reviews, and admit it, Tom Cruise is kind of a freak. Admit it!
Uh-oh.
All right, so as an alternative, we're going to have a giveaway throughout the show for 10 lucky listeners to win a copy of The Complete War of the Worlds. It's a great new volume from Source Books, Inc. It's got the full text from the original H.G. Wells novel, the script from the Orson Welles radio play that caused a national panic, an essay about the people who really thought the world was coming to an end, and an audio CD with the complete 1938 radio broadcast and the only interview between Orson Welles and H.G. Wells. Wow, now I want this.
Wow.
Can I get this? We're going to give away 10 copies. And you can only purchase A Complete War of the Worlds at Costco, which, of course, Costco, Kayla the Costco ho loves. Yeah, where's my popcorn? By the way, I got a box of popcorn from some listeners to the show.
Yeah, not a box of popcorn. Yeah, box of popcorn.
It's a huge box of popcorn. Let me talk about that in a minute. It's from Lesser Evil. It's supposedly good because they use cane juice and brown sugar syrup. But, you know, the sugar, and it is good.
Actually. Did you bring any up for him?
I'll go get it in a second. I forgot. So, anyways, the War of the World thing. Let's get back to the point, which is you can get it at Costco. I only get it at Costco, BJ's, or Sam's Club. I know Sam's Club's evil. It's bad. But, you know, this is part of the promotion. And don't go there. Go to Costco and get it. Or BJ's, which is politically neutral. I don't even know where it is. Do you? Is there BJ's here?
Yeah, I think there are some BJ's here.
Okay,
yeah.
So listen. Now, at some point in the show, we're going to play an audio clip. And when you hear it, you need to call in. To win your copy of The Complete War of the Worlds, all right? The sound you'll hear is President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion, okay? President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion. So keep listening, and when you hear that sound, give us a call at 866-303-2270. All right, that's 866-303-2270. But you can't win until you hear the sound of President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion. So don't call now. If I see the phones light up right now, you're not playing the game. It's for something else.
Yeah.
But I might answer. Anyways, we're going to talk about Guantanamo Bay in just a second. We are going to get into some classic Rumsfeld that I have something he said on Kansas radio show. I don't have the tape, but I've got it written down. Mind-blowing. But right now, Time magazine agreed to hand over the notes of reporter Matthew Cooper to a prosecutor investigating the leak of CIA undercover agent Valerie Plame's identity. So Cooper avoids jail time, but he must, I got to assume, Riley, he's got to feel somewhat betrayed by Time magazine.
Yeah, he does. It's interesting. I think Time is kind of hiding behind Matthew Cooper's jail time in order to comply with this. And what a lot of journalists are upset about here is the belief that Time caved on this because it is part of the, quote, corporate-controlled media, and that perhaps in a previous era, the magazine would not have been as quick to comply with this court order. Now, this is the law. theoretically. But remember that other media outlets in the past have said, we don't believe in the law, we'll pay the fine.
Right, the New York Times. The editor of the New York Times said, look, you know, we're going to stand behind Judith Miller, who's the other reporter in the case.
Yeah.
She's not going to give up anything. And they had a reporter go to jail for 40 days back in the late 70s for a similar thing.
For a similar kind of thing. Now, the Times in this instance was off the hook because they did not have physical possession of Judith Miller's notes. Time did have physical possession of Matthew Cooper's notes.
Yeah, but not unlike, you know, there's been, like, why couldn't they just say, look, we'll pay the fine. I understand it's a law, Riley,
yeah.
But if this, like, listen to this statement. This is Times Norman Perlstein. This is a statement that he released to the media. Quote, although we shall comply with the order to turn over the subpoenaed records, we shall continue to support the protection of confidential sources. The same constitution that protects the freedom of the press requires obedience to final decisions of the courts and respect for their rulings and judgments. That Time Incorporated strongly disagrees with the courts, provides no immunity. So what did he really say? He said, hey, look, we're against this, but we're going to go ahead and comply with it. Whereas if they had stood up, paid the fine, made a statement, if they weren't worried about reprisals, and I don't even know what those reprisals would have been, they could have protected some of the sanctity of the reporter-source relationship. Because what they're doing, even though they make a statement against it, they're providing a slippery slope, towards, you know, pushing sources further away from wanting to reveal what they have to say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what you have here is a divide that is starting to show itself between how media companies approach this thing. The New York Times, actually, Arthur Sulzberger Jr. was very critical of the decision that Time made because, of course, as you pointed out, Mark, in 1978, Times reporter Myron Farber mm-hmm. went to jail mm-hmm. rather than reveal his sources mm-hmm. in the case of a doctor who was accused of killing someone.
Mm.
So, the Times has had a long history doing this, and interestingly enough, Perlstein said if he had been at Time in 1978, he'd have turned over that information that Farber had.
Hmm.
So he'd have bent over even then.
Wow. See, that this and also the guy who broke the story anyways was Robert Novak. Who's not saying nothing other than, hey, don't look at me. I didn't, it's not my fault that they're having trouble. And I think that we've been speculating that he probably made a statement to the grand jury about this, and they're trying to corroborate the evidence that he probably tipped them to.
I can't imagine any other reason why they would go after Cooper and Miller with such vigor when they know that the central figure in this is Robert Novak. It was Robert Novak's column that first outed Valerie Plame, and yet Robert Novak is having dinner on 16th Street tonight, and these guys are facing jail. What's up?
Exactly. We're going to get into Rumsfeld in a second. Also, some security money, some Homeland Security money that was funneled into some bad hands and millions of dollars. Just stolen, I'd say. That's coming up next here on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark. It's 27 past the hour.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
SEC, the IRS, and for reasons I can't mention, the DEA. Thrill. All on the next Al Franken Show.
Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company players bring you their production of Mark Maron and the Temple of Doom.
When we last left Mark and Grace, they were tied together in an empty abortion clinic as a bomb planted by Randall Terry ticked away. On the plus side, at least Mark and Grace could spend their last remaining moments on Earth finally expressing their true feelings for one another.
Mark, you're a putz.
It's a stupid idea, Grace.
All I'm saying is you should at least try to shoot through these ropes. I did it in the trunk of a car once and escaped. That was the night I swore off men forever.
Shh. What's that? I hear someone outside.
I liberate this animal testing laboratory in the name of PETA.
Hold on. This isn't an animal laboratory. Where are the cages and disgusting odors?
Well, that guy kind of reeks.
Hey.
Don't try worming out of it, Malcolm. This obviously isn't the mascara testing lab. That's the last time I let you drive. I don't even know why you're in PETA. You don't even like animals.
Could we get a little help over here?
I had a cat until it jumped out my window.
Jumped or pushed? Hey, are those leather shoes?
Leather.
You've got to be kidding me.
Over here!
Over here! Hey, help!
Help! Hey!
What the?
Why are you tied up? What are you protesting?
No time to explain. There's a bomb in the room.
Hey, what's that rope made out of? because if it's camel hair...
Hey, focus, Mr. and Mrs. Green Jeans. See that clock attached to the dynamite? Get rid of it now!
Why would I do that? We came here to plant a bomb.
Did they say they're protesting? Did I
throw that bomb out the window? This is an abortion clinic. Bomb! Abortion clinic. Get it?
I thought this place looked familiar.
Throw the bomb out the window now!
What, like this?
We thank Peter for liberating us and headed out to the parking lot.
Where's our car?
You mean that smoldering pile of metal over there? Congratulations, boss. You managed to get car bombed without ever setting foot in Iraq.
Shut that thing off!
We need to find a bus stop.
I can't see a damn thing with this fog rolling in.
A man dressed in black stepped out of the shadows. I made him for a priest immediately.
What was your first clue? The white collar around his neck? The Bible? That music from The Exorcist?
Hey, this is my voiceover.
Mark Maron, lesbian assistant. My name is Father Damien, head of VSI Vatican, Satan Investigations. If you want to find the Antichrist... come with me.
How'd you know we were looking for the Antichrist?
Turn on the radio.
Mark, it's God. I see you've met Father Damien. Try not to blow him up. So Tom Cruise is getting married for the third time. That proves if your brain is washed enough, it will shrink. Shrink. Is this on?
Let's roll. Before we go in this room, I have to warn you. Do not touch the person in the bed, no matter what they say or do.
Oh, look who it is. Father Child Molester. Where have you been at daycare trying to pick up a hot date?
You two wanted to find the Antichrist? He's hidden inside that 15-year-old girl. Little help?
Hey, what's with the lipstick lesbo? You couldn't carry Ellen DeGeneres' jock. And your girlfriend blows his softball. And Maron, you suck. Mark Riley has been carrying you for...
Grace! Grace! Stop strangling her! I can take a few insults.
Take back what you said about my girlfriend!
I said don't touch her.
Father?
Satan's gone. For now.
Hey, are you Mark Maron?
Why, yes, I am.
Can you get me an autographed picture of Janine Garofalo? I'm a big fan of hers.
Father? Are you sure the devil isn't still in there?
Will Mark and Grace be able to combat the dark forces and discover the true earthbound identity of the Antichrist? What part will Father Damien play? What other horror movies will we reference? And how could such a sweet young girl become possessed by an interest in Janine Garofalo? Find out next week when we hear Mark say...
Just make it out to Christine. She's a big fan of yours, and she's possessed by Satan.
Okay, whatever.
That's next week on Mark Maron and the Temple of Doom. And stay tuned later for the morning's edition Radio Theater Company Players heartwarming new sitcom, Life of Mark Riley.
Honey, I'm home.
What would you like for dinner?
The question isn't what I would like for dinner. The question is what dinner options are available and what would be the corresponding pluses and minuses of those particular options.
Okay. How about our vacation? Have you decided where you want to go?
Mad cow disease. Why isn't anyone talking about it? Is it the FDA's version of the Downing Street memo? What is the government trying to hide? We'll be talking about dinner, mad cow, and vacations. Plus, we'll be taking your calls as soon as I get back from the bathroom. Don't go away.
Mark, I'm worried about you. If you're going to the bathroom, could you at least take off the headphones?
That's later on Morning's Edition Radio Theater.
39 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. We're sitting here.
Hi.
How are you, buddy?
Who?
It's Morning's Edition is what you're listening to. Let me tell you something. If you're going to send me food, like, I'm fairly new to this radio game, my friends, but I will eat the food. All right? We're sitting here. We've got, like, 30, you know, what do you call those, buckets, containers, boxes of lesser evil popcorn, kettle corn, and they're, like, four or five different flavors. Riley's abstaining because he's afraid
I'm abstaining.
Afraid
I'm not eating. No trans fatty acids popcorn.
Yeah, stay away from the stuff that's good for you. Good for you.
You know what? If I eat any of this popcorn, you will be doing this by yourself.
I know
the
sugar thing.
I'll just sit there in the corner.
You see, Riley had
suck
sugar.
My thumb.
Yeah. One time we had brownies, man. That was the day that Riley fell asleep on the air. All right, listen to this. This is a classic Rumsfeld. He is from a radio address on a Kansas City, Missouri station. He was doing an interview, and I'm going to quote him because we don't have sound. Apparently he couldn't get the sound from Kansas. There's an information lockdown in Kansas. All right, quote, I suppose part of that is because he's referring to the news media, and he's referring to Iraq. Quote, I suppose part of that is because the news media seems to want to carry the negative, and the news media doesn't present on television every day the large number of people who are killed in car accidents or the large number of people who are homicide victims in the United States every day. Maybe if they did, there would be fewer car accidents and less homicides. And then he added, quote, they do carry every act of violence that occurs in Iraq, and it seems over and over and over again. Well, Ron, can I just say something here? It just seems that almost all of the car accidents in Iraq involve them exploding in public places, and most of the murder is war-related. All right, so the reason we report all of these cases is we do think that if we do report it, there will be fewer, hopefully no more cases of war-related death. That's what I say. And apparently, if we're going to, quote people who have been on the ground, if you're going to say that, the American people don't know who's, what's going on for real, we talk to people in Iraq almost weekly. We talked to the most profound one as of late was Rod Nordland. Rod Nordland is the former Newsweek Baghdad bureau chief who left Baghdad after a two-year assignment, had gone there believing that the Iraq war was the right thing to do.
Yep.
And we talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he had this to say in retrospect.
There wasn't a plan in the beginning. Mm-hmm. They kept talking about, we have a plan. There is a plan. In fact, there never was a plan, and not one that was in any kind of form they could implement. And there isn't an exit strategy beyond training the Iraqi forces until they get to the point where they can actually take over. But that may be many, many years. And that, I guess, is what amounts to our exit strategy, but it's not much of one.
Is there anything changing on the ground there that you can see that can provide, any hope or any progress in terms of either the people in Iraq or rebuilding or anything?
No.
There you go. There you go. Wow. That was Rod Nordland, former Newsweek Baghdad bureau chief, on our show 2 weeks ago. That in response to Donald Rumsfeld saying that people don't talk to people who have been to Iraq, who have seen it.
Well, Rod Nordland is part of that same news media that Donald Rumsfeld savages. But this guy has, I don't know what color the sky is in his world, but when he says with a straight face that the media does not cover the people who are killed in car accidents, the number people who are homicide victims in the United States. Hasn't he read the New York tabloids?
Sure.
The tabloids in this town cover every homicide that takes place, and they cover it with huge, splashy pictures and huge, splashy stories. So I don't know what he's talking about. People don't cover homicide.
Maybe they're saying all at once that every day there needs to be a collective toll of the murders and the car accidents that go on in America. What he was doing was he was deflecting. The analogy he's making doesn't make any sense, because if you were to take it logically, to where he's leading is, yes, we are reporting on probably 95 to 99% of the car accidents and murders that happen in Iraq. They're just all war-related. Car accidents don't happen unless, there's a bomb in them and they're planted somewhere. I'm sure they do, but I'm saying from where I'm standing, sure, if you want us to report the day-to-day tabloid issues of Iraq on terms of, what are, legitimate murder cases that aren't war-related or legitimate fender benders, we could do that, but I'm still telling you that overwhelmingly the war-related car accidents and murders will outnumber them, and that's why we are reporting those. So hopefully we will do what Donald Rumsfeld says that it might do here in America, and that is stop them.
Well, Rumsfeld's an idiot when it comes to this. The man is sitting up there talking about, well, I didn't say that there might be a 12-year insurgency. All I said was that the insurgencies throughout history have lasted various times. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 years sometimes. But he didn't predict a 12-year insurgency.
This is a guy that shouldn't be doing his job. He shouldn't have the job he has. He's been criticized to the point where he tried to resign twice. Bush wouldn't let him because now they use him as a diversionary tactic.
Yeah, they do. They trot him out periodically. What is it, about on a six-week cycle?
Yeah.
I think Condoleezza's probably up next.
Yeah.
She'll be in with the gas bag shows over the weekend and then for the next week or so. And then Dick Cheney will come up on the turntable next, and they'll play him for a while. And then Rumsfeld will come back maybe September.
Everyone will put put out contradictory information, but Rumsfeld's the best at it because you just set him up and he'll start blathering on,
yeah.
And the news media and people like you and I will be sitting there parsing what he's saying and amazed, and it works pretty well because we just spent 15 minutes talking about him.
Yeah, really.
So I guess that we're going to continue this conversation. We didn't get to this story I really want to get to, and we'll get to this because I know you want to talk about it as well. The Transportation Security Administration is now trying to account for millions of dollars that might have just gone into the pockets of contractors hired by the government. Does that sound unusual? No.
No.
We've also got a little thing we call the Dog of the Week up, so why don't you hang out, folks. It's 45 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Mills from REM, and you are listening to Mark and Mark on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
800-357-1473. 800-357-1473. That's 800-357-1473.
Fifty past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Oh yeah.
It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I don't know how I can put this better than Jim Earl just did. Jim Earl just walked in, pointed out a bottled water and goes, drinking water. Poison. Feces. For our listeners in New York City, officials are recommending that you boil your drinking water after heavy thunderstorms left high levels of particles. Feces in the water supply. The recommendation applies mainly to people with immunity problems. You can drink bottled water, boiled water, if you can, at least for a couple of days until they sort out the poo. Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily, we got the machine, the iNews Wi-Fi headline translator. The iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's kick it up and feed it some headlines. All right. Okay. From CNN, Bush, Kyoto Treaty would hurt economy. All right. Bush, Kyoto Treaty would hurt economy. Translation, claims pollution gives sky texture, character. All right. From the New York Times, Spain legalizes same-sex marriage. Spain legalizes same-sex marriage. Translation, features hot hombre-on-hombre action.
Oh,
come on. Come lighten up, people. It's Friday. Big three-day weekend for you to judge. From Associated Press, U.S. mad cow case traced to Texas. From Associated Press here, U.S. mad cow case traced to Texas. Translation, Texas produces yet another brain-damaged native son.
Ooh.
Hey, that was a clever one. Drinking water. Poison. Feces.
No, hey, that hasn't been proven yet.
I'm just speculating, all right? We're just speculating here. What else could it be? Bacteria, all right? That's all. Just to save yourself some time on the toilet this weekend, boil the water for a couple of days or go get a gallon. Guess what time it is now? It's time for... Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Yes, it is that time. Mark Maron, the 4th of July weekend is upon us, and as a patriotic American, there's really only one choice for this week's dog.
Right.
Only one man has gone below and beyond the call of duty in the name of political face-saving and nothing more. He's our commander-in-chief, our leader, our president, George W. Bush. This week, in the face of mounting and entirely justified criticism of his Iraq war policy, Bush spoke to the nation. You might expect some new policy initiative, a new strategy, tactics, anything. But what did we get? We got recycled stay-the-course rhetoric. We got more inferences that Saddam Hussein and September 11th are somehow linked. This is a canard long ago discredited even by Bush's friends, but it was good enough to resurrect this week. Bush was pitiful, lame, and most of all, unconvincing. Even worse, he ended the spiel with a plea to American youth to join the armed forces. News columnist Jimmy Breslin got it right. If our president has the courage of his convictions, let him talk his daughters into enlisting. Bush is playing for time in Iraq, hoping for some good news to offset fallout from the Downing Street memo and talk of impeachment. He's also playing with the lives of U.S. soldiers, which is more than enough to make George W. Bush the morning edition dog of the week.
Yes, that's it. That was a good one, Riley.
Hate to go for the obvious, but I mean, come on.
No, he deserved it, dude. He had it coming. 42% of Americans say today that they would favor impeachment proceedings if President Bush misled the nation about the reasons for going to war with Iraq. And that on top of the fact that, most Americans, shows that 60% of Americans believe that Bush has no plan for an exit strategy. I think that was exactly his plan, to just pillage and, fill the pockets of his military contracting friends until he depletes the government of all the money. And that way, man, oh, man.
Retirement will be sweet.
Oh, for who? There's not going to be any money left for
not
us.
Not for the rest of us, for him.
All right, so Okay. Yeah, I get it. I must be a moron because I don't have it in front of me. Yes, I do. Listen, folks, we know that a lot of people are going to go see the new War of the Worlds movie this weekend, but let's be honest. It's a bloated summer blockbuster that's gotten mediocre reviews. And admit it, folks, Tom Cruise is kind of a freak. I'm not going to say why, but, Scientology mean anything? Oh, now I'm going to take a bullet. All right, so as an alternative, we're going to have a giveaway throughout the show for 10 lucky listeners to win a copy of The Complete War of the Worlds. It's a great new volume from Source Books Incorporated. It's got a full text from the original H.G. Wells novel, the script from Orson Welles' radio play that caused, of course, a nationwide panic in New Jersey, an essay about the people who really thought the world was coming to an end, and an audio CD with the complete 1938 radio broadcast. And the only interview, folks, between Orson Welles and H.G. Wells. We're going to give away 10 copies, and you can only purchase A Complete War of the Worlds at Costco, good, BJ's, and Sam's Club. Yeah. Now, at some point in the show, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to play an audio clip, and when you hear it, you need to call in to win your copy of The Complete War of the Worlds, okay? The sound you'll hear is President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion. Got it? President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion. So keep listening, people. And when you hear that sound, give us a call at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. But you can't win until you hear the sound of President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion. Now, Riley, coming up in the show, we've got some good stuff. All right?
Yeah.
There was a second case of mad cow found. Eric Schlosser, the author of Fast Food Nation, one of my favorite investigative writers, apparently is pissed.
Yeah.
And we're going to have him on the phone later in the show. In just a few minutes, you and I are going to get into this Transportation Security Administration investigation.
Rip-off.
These contractors, man, I swear to God, to exploit people's fear and panic and a timeline put in place by Congress to secure the one thing we knew for sure in light of 9/11, outside the fact that 3,000 people were killed, was that they got on a plane.
Yes.
So for someone, for a company, for a contracting company to exploit that for profiteering, disgusting.
It's unbelievable profiteering. And we're going to get into that. We're also going to talk to Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights. We're going to talk about closing down Gitmo next on Air America Radio.
It's 6 past the hour. It's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark. Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, Mark Maron.
Hey, buddy. So it's Friday before 4th of July weekend. I can't wait, dude. This whole having a job thing every day, just, the idea of being able to sleep in for 3 days. The idea of it. Right now, I'm getting excited.
Yeah, sleeping in for us is like, what, 6:30 maybe?
You still wake up weird, but, still, to have the freedom, man.
Yeah.
To have the freedom to wake up and go, hey, it's 7.
Well, isn't
that
what Independence Day is actually all
about?
That's
what it's all about. That's all it's about, Riley, is sleeping in. That's what this country is built on.
Freedom to crash.
Freedom to sleep in. Hey, for our listeners in New York City, officials are recommending that you boil your drinking water after heavy thunderstorms left high levels of particles in the water supply. The recommendation applies mainly to people with immunity problems, but it wouldn't kill you to do it or drink bottled water, as Jim Merrill came in here and said, drinking water, poison.
To your health.
Feces. last month, folks, this is serious. Last month, We were urging people to donate to a sleepaway camp for poor kids from the Bronx. Last week, we learned that the youth clubs that were operating the camp and taking the donations were shutting down. Not long after that, it was reported that the clubs are under investigation by city officials. So needless to say, we ended our promotion of the camp as soon as we heard this, and we recommend that all of you stop donating to the clubs, at least until we get all this worked out. If you already donated money, you have two options. If we don't hear from you, your donation will go to other organizations that help disadvantaged city kids, or you can contact us by email at sedition@airamericaradio.com, and we'll arrange for your reimbursement. Obviously, we're disappointed and sorry about all this, and we'll pass on any more relevant information that we can. And, Mom, I'll settle it with you. I'll just call. I've got that check you sent to the wrong place, me, and I will avoid that.
Or buy a couple of shirts.
Yeah, or buy a couple of shirts. No, I'll donate it to the right place.
Okay.
So let's get into this thing, because we were talking about this yesterday, Riley. An audit was done by the Defense Contract Audit. An audit was done by the Defense Contract Audit Agency at the Transportation Security Administration's behest.
Yes, they asked for it.
Right. So this is like the TSA lost control of over $300 million. Okay, this was spent by a contractor, primarily one contractor, to hire airport screeners after 9/11. And the culprit of the contractor, the shameful person involved, persons involved, NCS Pearson Incorporated.
Yeah, they were hired by TSA to actually screen, to test, to interview, fingerprint, and evaluate these people that were going to become passenger screeners in America's airports. A very big issue, obviously, in the wake of September 11th. Now, what ended up happening here was that this company, NCS Pearson, had its own assessment centers to get this work done, Mark.
Right.
Instead, somebody told them they had to start using hotels near airports. So what that meant was that NCS Pearson apparently then had to actually build up these assessment centers in airport hotel rooms from scratch. And, and then to top it off, they started subcontracting a lot of the grunt work.
And no bid contracts. I mean, but this is
no bid contracts.
Right. But this is $303 million, Riley. And apparently, here's how some of that money, our money, given to these, I guess you could call them crooks, by our crooked government, was spent in the name of improving security of the nation's airports. This is during a time of fear. Now, the way you characterize it, which is, in my reactionary brain, all I heard was like, they built us. But you're saying that because of the time restrictions, they were forced to set up, very quickly in hotels. And some of these, so you're saying that some of these expenses may be justified, like $1,180 for 20 gallons of Starbucks coffee, $3.69 a cup at the Santa Clara Marriott in California.
Yeah.
You're saying that might be justified.
No. Understand now. I don't think it's justified. Pearson had 925 assessment centers.
Okay.
They ended up moving these testing facilities to 150 hotels, and they are saying that move cost $343 million. In other words, Pearson had the places where this could have been done, and they presumably could have gotten coffee for less than $3.69 a pop.
Right,
but they ended up moving it to hotels. They ended up paying less. But the other part that screams ripoff here, Mark?
Right.
Here are some examples of some stuff. For example, $2.95 paid for a soft drink. That's kind of Yankee Stadium price.
How about this? $20 an hour temporary workers billed to the government at $48 per hour. That's a classic.
That's a classic
that's
rip.
A classic.
That is a classic
and
rip.
And that's how contractors rip off the government all the time, and by virtue of that, rip off us, the taxpayers, who were just expecting airport security to get better, not for the money to be misused or for profiteers to take it like that.
No. And see, now you have a situation, and this is what happens when contractors get found out like this. Everybody now, just like Donald Rumsfeld, starts blame dispersal and passing the buck. Oh, no, it wasn't NCS Pearson's fault. It was the contractors that they hired through these no-bid contracts. It's their fault. And, of course, the no-bid contractors, there are 100 and some odd of them, so nobody knows who the biggest rip-off artists were. So it all gets diffused. No one ends up taking the weight, and the TSA is more or less left holding the bag.
Wow. So we're going to talk in a minute about with Michael Ratner about some actions that's going to be taken around, you know, trying to get Guantanamo Bay, the detention center there, closed after, obviously, you know, many accusations of torture. And it, just the fact that it may, it's a stain on our country around the world.
Yes.
And I know it's, you know, I know it's true now because the contradictions of, you know, the administration and representatives of the military who are talking about Guantanamo Bay with the actual, you know, eyewitness accounts and detainee accounts, this one takes the cake. In testimony before the House Armed Services Committee, Brigadier General Jay Hood, the guy who runs Gitmo, claimed that all the inmates were treated well. Dig this. They are given clothing, shelter, hygiene items, and they even get full dental. I'm not quoting him, but he basically said they get their teeth taken care of. I barely have a dental plan.
Yeah. Right.
He also said that not only are detainees not tortured, but sometimes they're given ice cream and candy bars to induce them to give up information. Wow.
Ooh, Snickers.
Right. That's just sort of him saying, you know, we aren't even detaining them. They want to be here. It's like a party. Are you kidding? Ice cream whenever they want as long as they tell us stuff. And this kills me, too. On the Quran, all right, General Hood had to say this. Quote, the rule of thumb for the guards is that you will not touch the Quran, and that's the bottom line. If there's an instance where a guard needs to handle a Quran, a guard will don a cream-colored latex glove, will secure the Quran in two hands. That's the end of the quote. And then what happens? Is there lube involved? I mean, now what I'm saying is maybe not only were they it's ridiculous, and it contradicts everything we've heard. Even last week, you had the claims of Quran abuse at Gitmo by this Russian ex-detainee who said that it was common for them to abuse the Quran, which contradicts the only one that the Pentagon will substantiate, which was the magical stream of urine theory.
Yeah.
The stream of urine went through the air vent and just misted a Quran three rooms over. Yeah, ridiculous.
Well, that's ridiculous. And see, the other thing that they're trying to do, and this is what General Hood is trying to say, is that they're actually getting good intelligence out of the people that they're holding at Gitmo. Now, that's one of those things that's very difficult for people to disprove, Mark, that people can say, well, we're getting stuff that's helping to save American lives around the world. They're helping us fight the war on terror, the information that we're getting from these detainees. But we really have no way of knowing how many of the, I think it's like 520 people that are being detained at this
point. From 40 different countries.
From 40 different countries, and we don't know exactly who's innocent, who's guilty. There have been some people that were detained at Gitmo for over a year who have been cut loose and set free because it turned out they either had the wrong people or they just had no connection to terrorism or al-Qaeda whatsoever.
Exactly.
So how in the world are we to verify? And I'm not, you know, impugning the integrity of General Hood, but I'd like to hear from somebody else that we're getting intelligence that's really helping us here.
Yeah, and also the other thing that's interesting is that they keep saying that, like, you know, you come on down, and take a look. Look, there's a happy terrorist eating ice cream. I mean, they, you know, they encourage us, but we talked to a guy. There's a guy eating a Klondike bar because he just ratted his friend out to us.
Yeah.
Here's Eric Saar, who is a former Army translator. He was on our show in May. He was at Guantanamo. He told us that interrogations at Guantanamo were often staged when VIPs were there. So this will add a whole other element to the mix that, you know, a lot of what we're seeing might have been show. Can we hear that, Chris?
There was a concerted effort, Mark, when VIPs came to the base to put on a show for an interrogation. And what happened was there was a buzz among the intelligence team as to who we were going to interrogate. The command instructed us to find someone who had been cooperative in the past, and the replay and interrogation that had happened earlier in which this detainee had been cooperative. And it also needed to be a detainee that was going to be able to sit across the table from you and give you good intelligence. So essentially we put on fake interrogations when VIPs came to visit.
That was former Army translator Eric Saar on our show in May. In just a few minutes here, a few short minutes, we're going to talk to Michael Ratner, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, is going to join us on the phone. There's some actions that are going to be taken to try to close down Guantanamo Bay, and that's scheduled for this weekend, so stick around for information on that. It's 16 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio.
I'll break it in. Nothing to lose. Makes you laugh at the troubling news. Sometimes I wonder if he's hitting the booze. Al Franken, King of the Jerks.
Air America Radio.
7, that's 1-800-774-7007. The call is free, the information is free, but the knowledge could be priceless. Barclay Financial, mystery solved.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hi!
It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. It's the Friday before a three-day weekend, and I'm rejoicing inside, my friend. God, every time I hear this song, I want to hear the whole album. I'm going to, I don't even know if I have it. That, of course I do. Smashing Pumpkins. This is amazing. Smashing Pumpkins.
Hey, I got Smashing Pumpkins. I do. I have the double album.
Okay. Oh, good. I think it's on there, actually.
Yeah.
It's on that one. This Wester Evil, Popcorn Evil. It's evil.
I warned you.
It got this flavor, this corny cue. It's like at first it starts sweet and then it turns into barbecue-y and then a little spice at the end. And I'm not even paid to plug this stuff. They sent us a crate of it. And so, of course, we open every flavor they have. And now I can't stop eating this one. As you can tell by my tone, is it a little sugared?
Hey, sugared? I'm clean and sober.
Okay, here we go. On July 4th, a broad coalition is calling for both the closure of Guantanamo Bay's prison camp and perhaps more significantly, they're calling for an independent investigation into the widespread allegations of prisoner abuse there. Michael Ratner, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, joins us on the phone to tell us more. Good morning, Michael. How are you? Nice to talk to you again.
It's great to hear from you guys again. I enjoyed being on your show a few weeks ago.
Hi, Michael.
We got a lot of popcorn up here. Any need for it?
I could use some now. Okay. I'd like a good movie with
it. Okay. So let's see. How realistic is it to expect this administration to, number one, to close down Gitmo, and number two, to appoint an independent investigator?
Well, 3 years ago, I would have said no chance at all closing Guantanamo. Today, I think it's different. I think you've seen Democrats, Republicans, all calling for either charging the people at Guantanamo or releasing them and saying it's enough already. So I think we're actually making gains. But, of course, this administration has just taken congressmen on what I call a Cook's tour of Guantanamo, setting up sort of a Potemkin village. Everything is hunky-dory. The food is good. Of course, it's terrible. So that's a political struggle. It's going on. It's going on in the courts as well. So we're doing okay on that. The investigation thing is also interesting right now, of course. Everybody knows that this stuff started at the top. Rumsfeld and everybody authorized the kinds of torture and abuse we've seen. Will they investigate themselves? Well, you guys, you're right. That's a toughie.
Now, Michael Ratner, Brigadier General Jay Hood, who runs Gitmo, says that there is good intelligence and good information coming from detainees there. How do you verify that, and do you believe it?
Well, I don't believe it. I mean, I can tell you this, and more than anecdotally, we now represent a couple of hundred people at Guantanamo. Lawyers have gone down there, constantly talked to people. We've gotten a couple of hundred people released, and I can tell you, the people I've met, they didn't have anything. Nothing. I mean, what we're running there, I'm not even sure what it is anymore. It's certainly an interrogation torture camp, but is it a camp that's really getting anything that's useful anymore? I doubt it. I think very doubt it. I think it's completely unlikely.
General Hood also went as far to say they get full dental coverage and ice cream.
Yeah.
This is, the way our clients were treated was just completely outrageous. What he's saying, this, when you see an administration just lie. Yeah, if you get some guy who says, I'll cooperate with you completely, and what cooperate means, at least in the cases we learned, is just tell them whatever they want to hear, maybe you get a McDonald's hamburger. But the other guys get chained to the floor, stripped, hooded, dogs were used on them. I mean, these guys were abused and tortured very badly.
Oh,
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, I hear you. And let's talk about the actions that people can get involved with this weekend, Michael.
Well, we're doing on July 4th at Herald Square. There's an action to close Guantanamo.
Here in New York?
Yes, here in New York, and I think around the country. If you go to the Center for Constitutional Rights website, ccr-ny.org, you'll see a series of actions around the country that you can go to where people are doing things around Guantanamo. And that can be going to a demonstration. It can be where you're going to read letters. It can be sending a note to your congressman, calling, writing something, putting on a reading of a Guantanamo play eventually, whether it's this weekend or later on. But we're really trying to roll out the political pressure now to really shut this camp down. This camp is making it more dangerous rather than less dangerous in this world.
Absolutely.
My, Michael, you know, in many cases when you look at a place like Guantanamo, it's not in terms of perception all that different from a U.S. prison in that the public believes that the people that are there are guilty. Obviously, you've gotten a bunch of people, a couple hundred people released from there. How big a stain is Guantanamo on America's reputation worldwide?
Well, the biggest difference, of course, with Guantanamo is no one has had any kind of a trial or hearing. No constitutional rights, no due process. They're simply picked up arbitrarily anywhere in the world, taken to Guantanamo, and they've been there 3.5 years. That's a big, big stain, because what we're saying is we can pick up, and these are all Muslim men, we can pick up people anywhere in the world, put them in prison without a trial. That has not been the rule for 1,000 years in the world that you can do that to people. So this is the United States, really the supposed place where the mantle of human rights surrounds us, violating the most fundamental aspect. It's a big stain legally, and it's a huge one in the Muslim world. This is a serious business. Those allegations about the Koran were right.
Yeah.
This is a serious business.
So, Michael, again, give us a website so people can go and see how they can get involved. We got to go in a second.
Okay, ccr-ny.org. It's ccr-ny.org.
Okay.
Go to the site. You'll see. Do something.
Thank you.
We are winning this battle.
I think we are, and I appreciate everything you're doing. We'll have you back in here soon to be in the studio with us.
Thank you, guys. I love your show.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
That was Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights. So go to that website. We're going to come back. We got Rapture Watch. We're going to talk about Rick Santorum, the pedophile apologist. We're going to talk about that. And Eric Schlosser later in the show.
That's right. Mad Cow coming up. Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
New gourmet Randy Rhoads brand talk radio. The only radio smart enough to be called the Randy Rhoads Show. Singing the truth on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark, obviously, on Air America Radio. Wow, man. 4th of July weekend. I got no plans but to hang out. I'm actually going to do some cleaning. How exciting is that?
Oh, that must be fun.
If I can go back into my apartment with that giant water bug. Oh, my God. I had to leave it to the cats this morning.
Did the cats eat them?
I hope so. I took a broom to it and it disappeared. It's like 5 inches. It's like the size of my hand. It's like the size of a shoe. It's like the size of a small car.
New York water.
Anyways, listen, folks. We know a lot of you people are planning on going out to see the new War of the Worlds film this weekend, but let's be honest. It's a bloated summer blockbuster that's gotten mediocre reviews. And admit it, Tom Cruise, he's getting a little weird. He's admittedly more freaky. I think he needs psychiatry. He's very anti-psychiatry. Anyway, yeah, just spitting out those L. Ron Hubbard talking points. That's great, Tom. We've been waiting to hear that from you. So as an alternative, folks, what I'm saying is we're going to give away something. We're going to give away something throughout the show. We're giving away to 10 lucky listeners a copy of the complete War of the Worlds, all right? It's this volume. It's a big new volume from Sourcebooks Incorporated. It's got a full text from the original H.G. Wells novel. It's got the script from the Orson Welles radio play that caused a big panic, I believe, in New Jersey, because I think that's where they landed. Wasn't it New Jersey?
I believe,
yeah.
Yes.
Also, it's got an essay about the people who really thought the world was coming to an end. It's got an audio CD with the complete 1938 radio broadcast, and it's got the only interview between Orson Welles and H.G. Wells. If you were to go out and buy this, where could you get it? You could get it at Costco, right, Kayla? So you could probably just pick one up.
Right,
and we don't need popcorn anymore because we got that. You can get it at BJ's. You can get it at Sam's Club, but I'm not recommending that because, as we know, Sam's Club is evil.
Right. They lock their people in.
So dig it. At some point during this show, we're going to play an audio clip, right? And when you hear it, you got to call to win your copy of The Complete War of the Worlds. The sound you will hear is President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion, okay? You got that? President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion. All right, so keep listening. It will be clear when you hear the sound. So you give us a call at 866-303-2270 to be one of 10 people who will win this amazing big box Complete War of the Worlds set. 866-303-2270. But don't do it now. See, people are like, No, when you hear it, do that. When you hear President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion. Yes, I do. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights. I was just talking to someone was waving at me. All right. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. All right, sorry. Too much popcorn. Take it easy.
I knew it.
Spain's now you're laughing, aren't you? Marin's all jacked up on sugar. Spain's lawmakers legalized gay marriages. It'll be guilt-ridden, duty-bound, joyless Catholic kind of marriages, but it's a start, folks. Isn't it a start? On a related note, the Frida Kahlo Little Chapel in the Pines is already completely booked, so you'll have to go elsewhere. Donald Rumsfeld says the media only shows the negative side of Iraq. He added, quote, for instance, those 1,700 Americans who died all have three or four family members that are perfectly fine. Why doesn't the media talk about them? A lawmaker's wayward email referred to his constituents as idiots. New York State Assemblyman Willis Stevens mistakenly sent out an email message that referred to his constituents as idiots. The reaction from his constituency was swift as they took to the streets, pulled down their pants, and mashed handfuls of garden mulch into their mouths. Because they're idiots, Dave. Come on, Big Dave, the paid intern's not even laughing at that one. Stevens immediately sent out an apology which had the unfortunate subject line of, hey, dummy. Huh? Eh? All right. Hey. Today's phrase, just drop this into conversation. Sure, facilities at Guantanamo Bay are world class. They'll even give you a wake-up call all night long. Wake up, sheeple. That's not a mint on the pillow. Oh, boy. What happened there? Maybe one of these would have helped.
There you go.
I guess I'm a little late on it, though. It's a little late, right? Jim Earl? Jim Earl, here's his public safety announcement for New York.
Uh-oh.
Drinking water. Poison. Feces. We're going to have him come in a minute to do his little thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he does about 90 characters on this show.
That many?
Yeah, Milfington, Mortensen, the My Mommy.
Did you get him juiced up on the popcorn?
Stem cells, huh?
Did he get juiced up
on the popcorn? No one's doing it. I'm the only one. See, this is a problem. They bring up a crate of lesser evil popcorn, which is truly evil, because you're just sitting there. It's kettle corn, so it's drenched in sugar, and I'm all jacked up. I'm going to hit the wall.
That's right. This is talk show Heron over here, folks.
Heron. You got to be old school to call it Heron.
There you go.
Hey, Rick Santorum, the culturally regressive, if not culturally retarded, senator from Pennsylvania, actually blamed the city of Boston for priests sexually abusing hundreds of children. Now, this is a statement from a piece that he wrote a couple of years ago that was recently revisited in a guy named, I think, John Baer in the Philadelphia paper when he was comparing Santorum to his contender, the Democratic contender.
Casey.
Well, dig this, though. This is Rick Santorum, who is now a pedophilia apologist, blaming Boston for pedophilia. Quote, priests, like all of us, are affected by culture. When the culture is so sick, every element becomes infected. While it is no excuse for this scandal, it is no surprise that Boston, a seat of academic, political, and cultural liberalism in America, lies at the center of the storm. What are you kidding me? You mean it couldn't be the church's history of repression and enabling an acceptance of sexual abuse for centuries? No. Look, buddy, I lived in Boston. It's not that culturally, you know, even if it was, believe me, Boston is not, you don't go to Boston and go, woohoo, everybody have sex. I mean, it's not that kind of city.
Maybe he's never been there. Maybe he's never been to a Sox game. Maybe he's just, I don't understand how Rick Santorum could form his lips 3 years ago or yesterday to make these kinds of statements and to make these kinds of links with people.
Because he's a religious fanatic. He just happens to be of the Catholic strand. He's a guy that wants to politicize religion. He's a guy that wants to, you know, he's one of these theocrats. He wants to integrate religious concepts and religious ideas into the government. He's bad news, dude. He's a freak.
Well, I have to say, Pennsylvania, what were you thinking?
And the weird thing is that, you know, this is an institutional problem in the Catholic Church, and it has been probably for centuries. And the bottom line is that the Catholic Church hid these priests. You know,
yes.
Bernard Law took the hit. There's up to almost $1 billion in lawsuits. Bernard Law actually was, you know, sent away. But now he showed back up at the Vatican. This is a guy, the Archdiocese of Boston, that was hiding people, hiding priests, you know, moving them to other parishes when it got too thick. They were enabling these guys who were sort of serial pedophiles.
Yeah, and they were, I mean, they had like a free transfer system that would be the envy of many sports leagues in this country. Somebody does something wrong here, we'll transfer them out to Arizona. No, somebody does something wrong in Philadelphia, well, transfer them out to Utah. I mean, it was, not Utah, what am I thinking? There's no Catholics in Utah, are there?
No, not to general. Of course, there's probably a few, but it's not known for Catholicism. The bottom line is Santorum, blame the church. Blame the church. The Diocese of Boston has been there since 1808, long before any institutions that you're referring to were probably there, except for Boston College, a Catholic institution. This is a horrendous spin. You are an apologist for sexual abuse, and you're despicable. You're despicable and shameful in terms of even your own religious ideals. Blame the church.
Yeah, I mean, this is these are some very incredible, incredible stuff. Can you imagine what he might say about Spain and that decision they made to legalize gay marriage?
This is a great thing. This is a great thing. This is a very Catholic country.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating. This is the only two other countries that have legalized gay marriage are Belgium, and the Netherlands. Gay couples in Spain now have the same rights as other married couples, including the right to adopt children. The new bill states, in plain language, quote, matrimony shall have the same requirements and effects regardless of whether the person involved are of the same or of different, whether the person involved are of the same sex of, you know what, I wrote the quote down wrong. Predictably, the Catholic Church freaked out in Spain, but filmmaker Pedro Almodovar supported the bill, which I think is important.
Well, he's gay, but he says he has no intention of getting married.
He's also a genius.
Yeah, he is brilliant.
A genius.
Brilliant filmmaker.
Mm.
And, you know, we're now starting to see, you know, Canada, one house of Canada's legislature has passed a gay marriage bill. When will the United States wake up and realize that it doesn't cause society to implode, it doesn't cause the traditional institution of marriage to shatter, it doesn't do any of the nonsense that the religious right historically have said it would do?
I'm going into a sugar sweat. Can I correct myself, please? The quote was from the bill in Spain. Matrimony shall have the same requirements and effects regardless of whether the persons involved are of the same or different sex.
There you go.
As it stands now, Canada's House of Commons passed legislation Tuesday that would legalize gay marriage by the end of July, as long as the Senate in that country also passes a bill, which it is expected to do. Massachusetts is the only state in this country that has recognized gay marriage, and they did it after Santorum wrote that piece, by the way.
Yes.
Vermont and Connecticut have approved same-sex civil unions. So, obviously, this country way behind in terms of civil rights and progressive values that are important to everybody.
Wouldn't you think there'd be an age of enlightenment in this country where people can, you know, understand that folks should be allowed to live their lives and be afforded the same protections that we all attempt to take for granted as Americans, no matter what their race, no matter what their skin color, no matter what their sexuality.
You know what? Staying on the theme, Riley, coming up next, we've got Rapture Watch. You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio. It's 45 past the hour.
Hi, this is former Labor Secretary Robert Reich. Remember me? I helped preside over the greatest economic expansion in our nation's history, creating over 20 million new jobs during Clinton years. I'm sorry to hear that the Bush administration has either outsourced or eliminated your job entirely. But while you're waiting for things to turn around, stay tuned to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Give me back my job again.
Experts now. 800-396-9711, 800-396-9711. That's 800-396-9711.
Nine past the hour. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. Hey, Riley. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Yes.
Wow, it's the Friday before 4th of July. I'm psyched. They've taken the popcorn away from me. The kettle corn was making me crazy.
Wow, it's disappeared.
Wait, it wasn't that bad, was it?
It was that bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, what was going on?
Nothing, dude. You just, you know.
All right.
Just get off.
All right. The Bible's Book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced diocese of insert any town here, Texas. Your grace?
Lift your grubby little meat hooks to heaven, ye unholy lovers of puppets. Acquirers of mechanical dancing flowers, and those people who put lipstick around their navels and act like their stomach is a big face. The Bengal tiger of God's divine casino is about to clamp its teeth around your flamboyant neck. Over the overly neat lifestyle that you live, for God's tribulation hour is in play, and the devil is like a hungry Ralphie May, relentlessly seeking whom he may devour, sweating profusely, and only good for two or three funny jokes. Midnight approaches, lizard lovers. For this week, scientists at the Sapphire Center for Resuscitation Research in Pittsburgh announced the unthinkable. No, not that they thought Pittsburgh was an interesting place to live, but that they were able... But that they were able to revive dogs that had been clinically dead for 3 hours.
Mm.
They were able to drain the dog's veins of blood, Mark.
Yeah.
Fill them with an ice-cold salt solution, and 3 hours later, replace their blood and revive them with electric shock. Christened the Cheney technique. This process should pave the way for trials on war casualties.
Hmm.
Mark,
yes.
This is a heinous waste of good dog flesh that could otherwise be sacrificed to Lothar, demon of bloodlust, our just and righteous leader. Hey, whoa! Oh, hey, that's my other segment called Hey, What If Satan's Right? Gotta cover your bases, right?
Yeah.
The important thing to remember is this, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jesus has the right to reanimate humans so they can torture dogs so dead people can go back to war again. Life is not the job of the living. Can you imagine what would happen if we brought Harrison Ford back to life?
Cardinal, I don't think Harrison Ford, he isn't dead.
Oh, Tasa Cantito, Olero Subaru. The rapture is upon you, Paxlepuss. Yahweh does not like people tinkering with his organs. And you will surely pay the piper, for it was prophesied in Revelation, Knit One, Pearl Two, and I quote it. I was working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mash. It was the graveyard mash. End quote. There you have it. Science is Beelzebub's playground and is not to be trusted over God's power. For example, just last week, a blood clot lodged in the anterior hippocampus region of my brain.
Wow, that sounds very serious, Cardinal. Please go on.
Thank you. I will. It was touch and go for a while, but merely by praying to the divine healing power of God did I find myself completely cured with no ill side effects.
Wow, that's an amazing story, Cardinal. Doesn't the anterior hippocampus region control memory and physical coordination?
Thank you. I will. It was touch and go for a while, but merely by praying to the divine healing power of God did I find myself completely cured with no sound of Why did I put the stapler into my mouth? I just picked it up and all of a sudden I flung it into my mouth. It's a darnest shame. Anyway, it won't be long before we're all at the throne of Jesus and he'll have a stapler in his mouth. Until then, keep on fornicating, and we'll keep a light on for you.
Wow. Wow, can you take it out now?
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, that was weird, man.
Yeah.
You all right?
All right,
What do you got going for the weekend? Anything?
Well, I'm going to start boil my bath water again.
Uh-oh.
Do you drink your bath water?
I drink it. I recycle all my bodily fluids and store it in jars labeled weekly and monthly.
A Cardinal?
Yeah.
Nice Boris Pickett reference.
Boris Pickett?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're talking about the monster, man.
Yes, I am.
How old are you?
Older than you, pal.
This is a hard country to defend.
There you go. That's the sound of President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion, and that means we're going to give away what, like 10 copies of The Complete War of the Worlds?
Ooh.
Call us right now at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. We'll give copies to the first five callers this go-round. The Complete War of the Worlds is a new volume from Sourcebooks Incorporated. It's got the full text from the original H.G. Wells novel, the script from Orson Welles' radio play that caused the national panic, an essay about people who really thought the world was coming to an end, an audio CD with the complete 1938 radio broadcast, and the only interview between Orson Welles and H.G. Wells. So, Jim, now that the Cardinal's gone, you and I can talk.
I'm glad.
Yeah, AutoZone, who you are sort of...
Yeah.
AutoZone. Now, does this... Yeah. What? I heard some bad stuff. I heard things.
Well,
I heard things, Jim.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
They're having a little legal trouble with the state of California.
Uh-huh. What happened?
Well, evidently, you know, allegedly they're dumping huge amounts of toxic,
interesting, that
toxic
you're
oils
sort of,
into the, you know, ocean.
So now it's allegedly, and you're being sort of diplomatic about it. Usually you're like, you know, they're ruining the environment, but you're willing to hold out because you like to sing AutoZone, don't you?
Yeah. You know, I like to sing. It's a good song.
Now, wait a minute. Now, New York tap water's got feces in it, according to you.
Yeah.
But AutoZone is dumping what in the water of California?
I think it's dirty used oil and other toxic substances into the storm drains, and it goes right into the ocean. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I...
You know,
so Jim,
you used to dump your drugs in the stuff.
Hey!
Oh, here we go.
I was young and didn't need the money.
So, Jim, now the 4th of July weekend's coming up. What's a guy like you throw on the grill, if you don't mind?
I think...
Oh, boy, this is going nowhere. Can we
Hey, shut up, Kalo. All you do is just sit there and moan and, hey, where's my script? Where's my... Jeez, who's got gum? Hey, I got a new character for you.
Free gum?
Free gum?
So, can we get one AutoZone?
Get into our lawsuit! AutoZone!
Thank you, Jim Earl. Coming up next, we got, I think, Pendejo, the revolutionary, is going to call in.
Yeah.
Eric Schlosser is going to be here to talk about Mad Cow, and that's so stay with us. And the winner. Six past the hour, it's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark here on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Yes, I am.
It's the Friday before 4th of July. I am looking forward to it.
Me too.
I get excited, man. I get excited about the three-day weekend thing. I don't even have plans to go see fireworks. Usually I can just stand on my roof in Queens and just see fireworks from, you know, about four or five different places from very far away.
I'm excited because I'm going to a drum and bugle corps contest with my daughter.
I thought you were going to this New Jersey State Fair.
I'm doing that, too.
In a parking lot at
the
Meadowlands. State Fair,
well, yeah, and the drum corps contest is that giant stadium at the Meadowlands.
Hey,
two
next
thing.
So it's right there?
Yeah.
So you kill two birds with one
stone? Two birds, one stone.
We'll be broadcasting live from Vox Pop in Flatbush, Brooklyn next Friday. Put it on your calendar. That's July 8th. Stay tuned next week for all the details on how you can see us live in Brooklyn. Folks, here in New York City, for our listeners here in New York, city officials are recommending that you boil your drinking water after heavy thunderstorms left high levels of particles in the water supply. I'm going to leave it at particles this time because I don't want to be too graphic and say poo again. The recommendation applies mainly to people with immunity problems, but if you can, just, you know, for a day until it levels off. I think what happens is these water purifying the machines, they get when it gets too high, they get a little backed up. I don't think it's a big conspiracy, but there is bacteria, so protect yourself.
Yeah.
Folks, last month we were urging people to donate to a sleepaway camp for poor kids from the Bronx. Last week, we learned that the youth clubs that were operating the camp and taking the donations were shutting down. Not long after that, it was reported that the clubs are under investigation by city officials. Needless to say, we ended our promotion of the camp as soon as we heard all this, and we recommend that all of you stop donating to the clubs, at least until all of this gets worked out. If you already donated money, you have two options here. If we don't hear from you, your donation will go to other organizations that help disadvantaged city kids, or you can contact us by email at sedition@airamericaradio.com, and we'll arrange for your reimbursement. Obviously, we're disappointed, and we're sorry about all this, and we'll pass on any more relevant information that we can on that. Riley.
Where?
Look at these polls, man. 42% of Americans say they would favor impeachment proceedings if President Bush misled the nation. How they could not know that he misled the nation? How they could not know at this point, after over and over again, it has been proven that he lied. There were no weapons of mass destruction. The Downing Street memos. There's too much evidence that he lied. It's clear that he lied to almost anybody that has half a brain in their head, but only 42%. So I know that's high.
That is high. You know, I mean, remember, if you go back, Mark, to February of this year, you wouldn't have gotten anywhere near 42% of the American people saying that if Bush lied on Iraq, he should be impeached. The I word is starting to be used inside the Beltway and outside, and particularly in the eastern states and on the West Coast. A majority of people believe that if he lied, he should be impeached.
Well, I hope they get it done soon. I know John Conyers is working on it. I know he's got a bunch of congressional Democrats that are trying to speak their piece, certainly in relation to the Downing Street memos. I didn't hear any information today as to whether or not they got on the floor of the Senate yesterday or not.
I think it was the House.
The House. And I don't know if that happened, but there is definitely a momentum. There are not too many people in the Congress that are willing to say that they are going to file for an impeachment, but they are. They do want to do an inquiry.
They do want to do some kind of an inquiry. I believe that they ought to have a special prosecutor. And this same Zogby Pollmark says that Bush got no bounce at all from Tuesday's speech. None.
So it's going down. People are waking up a little bit. They're starting to trust those instincts that aren't, obstructed by the fear that this administration put everybody into for so long that got them into the office fraudulently to begin with. Time magazine agreed to hand over the notes of reporter Matthew Cooper to a prosecutor investigating the leak of a CIA undercover agent. We all know her name, Valerie Plame, playing her identity. So Cooper avoids jail time, but I have to think that on some level he's got to feel a little infantilized by Time Incorporated. He's got to feel like, he stood by his guns for so long, and now all of a sudden his boss just buckles and says, here's his notes.
That's right. Matt Cooper continued to object. Because remember now, it's been out here for about 24 hours that Time was contemplating doing this. And Matt Cooper had objected throughout to Time bending over like this and giving up these documents. And at a point, I have to wonder exactly why the government wants Matt Cooper's notes.
Well, as you were speculating before, I think, Robert Novak, who's the guy that broke this story, who no one knows, what the hell he's up to, who likes a lot of attention, who's a self-admitted misanthropic person, who, is just a little ass, if I can say. He is the guy that this all hinges on, and why haven't we heard anything from him? Because he's probably already made a statement to the grand jury, right?
Well, there is a question. He refuses to say whether he spoke to the grand jury. He says it's really bad that these folks are going to jail. We're talking about Matt Cooper from Time and Judith Miller from the New York Times. But Novak is essentially saying, well, hey, I didn't have anything to do with it. Don't blame me for all of this that's going on. And I don't understand that.
Well, the sad thing is, in general here, not unlike Newsweek, who had to back away from a story about torture in Guantanamo because they couldn't validate their sources. When a big company like this, when Time Incorporated, starts to buckle in these kind of cases, what happens is sources, anonymous sources, and people that would come forward with information that's important to journalists become afraid to come forward, or they can no longer trust the reporter, and there's so few of them out there that actually do their job.
Exactly.
That a decision like this on behalf of Time, not to just take the hit, pay the fine, let the reporter go to jail for a few weeks, and because that's what they want to do anyways, to protect this this source reporter privilege thing, is that it's bad for the free press.
And there's nobody in the media, nobody in the judiciary, no one in politics can explain how it is that Matt Cooper and Judith Miller are the ones being prosecuted here. And Bob Novak, the man who printed Valerie Plame's name first, is walking around having dinner tonight.
Yeah, I don't get it either. He cut a deal. He did something. How can you trust that troll? That guy is like, I think I like to hate him. I like to hate him. I like to hate Tucker Carlson. But it's not the same type of hatred I have for the neocon death cult. It's a specific type of hatred that is not as deep as the hatred I have for the administration. Folks, a second case of mad cow in the U.S. has been traced to a cow that ended up at a pet food plant in Waco, Texas. Why was it sent there? Don't know. They know the cow was born and raised in Texas, but they don't know by who or where in Texas. Why? I don't know. The Texas Farm Bureau confirms that the cow was shipped to Champion Pet Food Company in Waco, but the owners of the plant said the animal arrived dead and was immediately sent to Texas A&M for testing. So the cow gets there dead, but they knew that to send this cow to be tested for mad cow. Why? I don't know. Why this cow out of all of them? Why did they know? Is it unusual for cows to arrive dead at a pet food factory? I don't know. All I know is that there are too many unanswered questions given the, you know, the state of the of this country's beef supply in relation to this particular cow and the realities of mad cow being in the United States. It drives me crazy. I mean, I stopped eating the meat 4 months ago, not even really because of mad cow, just because I'd had enough of meat.
Yeah.
But my father has been saying for years, you know, it's here. It's here. Don't be fooled. We got an email. I got an email from a guy in Texas that says that his grandfather died of Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome, which is what the disease that comes from mad cow. And he said that someone within a 100-mile radius of where his grandfather lived also died of it. Some people think that the prion-related illness, which is what this disease is that you get from mad cow, is also connected genetically to Alzheimer's. Some people say that, you know, mad cow came from scrappies in British sheep. I mean, there's so many different theories. And of course, the USDA says, nothing to worry about. Everything's cool. So I smell a cover-up there, given that this cow was tested 7 months ago, but they said that those tests were experimental, primarily because they didn't yield the results they wanted. I don't know. Too many loose ends for me, Riley.
Well, it's an awful lot of fixing, it would seem, to make people think that there's no problem with the beef supply in this country. And remember, folks, that is a political calculation, because you have a beef industry in this country that stands to lose millions upon millions of dollars if the American people get nervous about the cattle supply.
Yeah, and we're going to talk to Eric Schlosser, the author of Fast Food Nation, whose book blew my mind. When I read his depictions of slaughterhouse of the beef industry in this country, and that book blew my mind.
Absolutely.
All right? And he's pissed off, and he's going to be on the phone with us, so hang out for that. Also on the phone, I believe Pendejo the Revolutionary is going to call us. Always a treat to hear from somebody out in the street fighting the fight. So stay with us for that, because that's coming up next. It's 16 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark. I'm crashing, Riley. The sugar's wearing off, man. I need some more baked goods.
Uh-oh.
Bring in the baked goods. 16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hey, this phone system is screwing me up by hanging me up before I get a chance to punch it in. Listen to my song. Now, I may have some strange religious views, cause I believe Al Franken is the king of the Jews.
Next message.
Call us at 866-303-2270. Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Paid for by Operation Truth, Incorporated.
21 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark here on Air America Radio. We've got Eric Schlosser, the author of Fast Food Nation, coming up to talk to us about mad cow, scrappies, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's syndrome, the new case of mad cow, the second case of mad cow, what I assume is a cover-up within the USDA and the beef industry. I don't know. Scary stuff. A lot of unanswered questions. We'll ask Eric Schlosser.
This is a hard country to defend.
All right. You know what that is? That was the sound of President Bush's reaction to an alien invasion, and that means we're going to give away some copies of The Complete War of the Worlds. Call us right now at 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-2270. We'll give copies to the first five callers. This is a pretty amazing box set thing here. It's The Complete War of the Worlds. It's a new volume from Source Books Incorporated. It's got the full text from the original H.G. Wells novel, the script from the Orson Welles radio play, The Cause That Caused National Panic. It's got an essay about people who really thought the world was coming to an end.
Yeah.
And an audio CD with the complete 1938 radio broadcast and the only interview between Orson Welles and H.G. Wells. You can only buy this at, I think you can buy it at Costco, BJ's, and also Sam's Club.
Oh, I'll see.
They're evil. Sam's Club is evil.
I'll see.
Yes. So, Riley, did you read this? Did you get this story? This thing sort of blows me away when you have people that are this insensitive in such a big way. This is the Mexican government issued a stamp depicting a Jim Crow era cartoon character known as
Penguin.
Right, but it's a Pickaninny character.
Yes, it's a Pickaninny character, and it wasn't just one stamp, Mark. It was a series of stamps. Yeah. And the Mexican government says, well, you know, just as Speedy Gonzalez has never been interpreted in a racial manner by the people in Mexico, this guy Penguin is a cartoon character. I'm certain that this commemorative postage stamp is not intended to be interpreted on a racial basis in Mexico or anywhere else. I guess he really hasn't been to the States.
Well, this cultural stereotype was, you know, erased from our culture, you know, years ago. And it should be known globally. I mean, people have to be sensitive on this in an international level. And leaders of the NAACP, the Rainbow Push Coalition, the National Council of La Raza, and the National Urban League denounce the image.
Well, you know, these images have lingered in the consciousness of some countries. For example, some years ago, there was a toothpaste that was marketed in Japan called Darkie. And they actually had a stereotypical black person on the toothpaste. It's incredible.
I heard that Germany was releasing the hook-nosed Heimlich stamp.
Hey, I'm sorry, buddy. We have Pinheiro on the line, the revolution guy.
Oh, so great. I've been worried about him. Put him on. Hey, buddy, what's going on? Come on, say it for me, man.
The revolution.
Dude, what's the matter, man?
Well, you know how I was using Nerve.com to find recruits for my group, my radical group, Puta.
Yeah. Take down the neocons. Yeah, I remember. So did you find your first revolutionary?
Yes, Mark. Her name is Raven. I mean, that's what she goes by, but I got a peek at her Sam's Club card. Her real name is Rhonda.
But, dude, you don't sound too happy about it. I mean, why don't you tell us a little bit about Raven?
Raven winked at me on Nerve. I wrote to her a poem, and she came over within the hour. She had a bottle of Jack Daniels and a couple of pistols. She said, finally, a man with cojones.
Dude, that sounds great. Sounds kind of rock and roll. She could be good for you, man. Is she hot? What'd she look like, dude?
Well, Mark, I would say with tattoos and piercings, less is more. Raven would not agree, I'm afraid. She is called Raven because she has black feathers tattooed all over her body.
Whoa, pendejo.
See, Mark. I just don't know if we're compatible. Our revolutionary zeal seems to express itself in such different ways.
Wait, what do you mean?
Raven thinks we should sell narcotics to raise money for the cause. I suggested we could raise money by starting a cutting-edge marionette theater that acts out scenes from Das Kapital.
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore. I mean, her idea, yeah, not yours. Yours is completely wussified. What else, buddy?
Raven wants to create a disturbance on the floor of the stock exchange. Perhaps set off a tear gas canister. I suggest that we act like we're from the 17th century, where white powdered wigs and finery and walk about tossing off devastating bon mots about the traders and their greed.
Yeah, well, something tells me she didn't go for that. Do you guys agree on anything?
Well, I was initially intrigued by her idea to create a computer virus that we would unleash on GOP headquarters, but she created a prototype on my laptop that made it impossible for me to play Doom 3 for days. And my Sims are starving.
Oh, yeah, your Sims, your little fake people in the game about the fake world where you fake feed them and stuff.
They can die, you know. And another thing, it has compromised my volunteer work for SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. They are out there, you know.
Come on, not as far as you are, Pendejo. Well, let me ask you something. You know what she is, don't you?
A dark devil woman.
No, my friend, she's an actual revolutionary, man. She is what you claim you want to be, but you just can't handle it.
No, that's not it, Mark. Stompers.
Your shit, too.
Who cannot be left alone. Stompers simply does not like Raven.
Stop hiding behind Stompers.
Anyway, she plays bass in a band, and that intimidates me. And I saw her once at the Paramus Mall making out with another girl. I don't want to get mono, Mark.
Oh, man.
I may have to break up with Raven.
You're on your own, Pendejo. I'll talk to you later, man.
Bye.
Say it.
Revolution!
We've got Eric Schlosser momentarily to take on Mad Cow with us. It's 27 past the hour. You're listening to Mark and Mark on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
What do you love about America? Give me a call.
Ringer on the radio.
On Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yeah.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program. 4th of July weekend coming up. A lot of barbecues going to be happening over the weekend. That's why we have our guest on. The second confirmed case of mad cow in the U.S. emanates for a cow born and raised in Texas. We can't blame Canada this time, folks. From Texas. Eric Schlosser is the author of Fast Food Nation, The Dark Side of the All-American Meal. He joins us on the phone from Utah this morning. Eric, I don't know what the hell is going on. There's so much information that I can't seem to put together. The only thing I'm thinking is that there's a cover-up at hand. The USDA is somehow part of it, obviously. What's going on?
What's going on is our government has been lying to us fairly consistently on this issue for years now. And the media, unfortunately, has done a pretty poor job of reporting it. I don't want people to be afraid of meat, and I don't know how bad the threat of mad cow disease really is in the United States. But what's unsettling is nobody knows. And this is a problem that, you know, we've faced now. We've known that mad cow disease can threaten human beings for almost a decade, and the government has done a terrible job of confronting it and telling the American people the truth about it.
Well, let's talk about the specifics, if you could, because, you know, I remember reading Fast Food Nation that, you know, how detailed you were about the beef industry and whatnot. Is that, talk to me about a little, if you could, about the pet food element. This cow shows up at a pet food company dead, which isn't unusual, I'm assuming.
Well, it isn't, but, you know, this animal should have been tested thoroughly for mad cow disease. There was an initial positive. And then there was another positive, and essentially at the USDA, people have known that this animal had mad cow disease since November. But there was no effort to trace back to the herd. There was no effort to find the other animals it was related to that might have been eating the same contaminated feed. And as a matter of fact, there was a denial that this animal had mad cow disease. So 9 months essentially have passed without being able to trace where the other infected animals might be. And by the way, pets can be contaminated with mad cow disease. And in England, it was a cat who came down with the feline version of mad cow disease, which proved that this disease could cross the species barrier. The tabloids in England called that cat Mad Max. So you don't want your pets eating contaminated food either.
But isn't that one of the weird loopholes as well, Eric, is that, you know, they say that they've stopped, you know, allowing this type of meat into the system. But isn't it true that when pet food expires, it can be used as animal feed, and thus, even though that they say that cows aren't eating cows, that if that type of food reenters the system, that they are indeed eating cows?
Well, you know, I'm not sure about that pet food.
Okay.
I haven't heard about that, but even in the absence of that, there are hundreds of millions of pounds of slaughterhouse wastes that are being fed to livestock that we are eventually eating. And cattle blood and cattle fats can still be fed to cattle. And it's being done on a widespread level. Not only that, but cattle waste from cattle slaughterhouses can be fed to poultry, and the poultry can be fed to cattle. It's really disgusting what we're doing to these animals. And the reason it's still occurring is the United States Department of Agriculture is really dominated and controlled by the industry it's supposed to be regulating. And it's the American people who are ultimately going to pay the price.
Eric Schlosser, it seems like there are maybe two interrelated issues here. On the one hand, coming up on the 4th of July weekend when everybody barbecues, there is the issue of public trust in the food supply and in not risking public health with this. But then there's also the issue of trust in government. How interrelated are these two?
Well, you know, they're very interrelated because this is an agency that is supposed to be protecting the public health. And a consumer has no way of looking at meat and telling whether it's contaminated, either with dangerous bacteria or with mad cow disease. So this is a public health issue. Now, about 30,000 Americans die every year in automobile accidents, and only 150 people have died worldwide from mad cow disease. So I don't want to, you know, overstate the problem. At the same time, the neurologists who I know and who I've interviewed who are doing the basic research on mad cow disease say you don't want to eat any meat from an animal that has it. It's just that simple. So it's not an imminent threat to your life, but you don't want to be eating this stuff. I think what's much more serious in the short term is the way in which the government is willing to lie.
Lie and cover it up, it seems.
Cover up. And it's not just in the Department of Agriculture. I mean, if you believe that the insurgency is ending right now in Iraq, you know, there's some internet stock I'd like to sell you. This is part of a much bigger problem that I think we haven't seen since the Nixon administration.
I agree.
And also, let me throw out one other thing.
Go ahead.
The willingness to intimidate and try to destroy critics. It's quite amazing that this animal with mad cow disease was found in Texas, because it was in 1996 that the state of Texas, the agriculture official in Texas is now the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, and they sued Oprah Winfrey and tried to destroy Oprah Winfrey simply for suggesting that mad cow disease might be a problem in the United States.
Do you ever get nervous for your own safety?
You know, when I think of what other journalists do, when I think about the amazing reporting that's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, I don't really worry about it. But I think everybody who believes in the truth and wants to know the truth should be deeply concerned about a government willing to lie this way, willing to intimidate and cover up.
And, yeah, it's amazing to me, Eric, as you were saying before, that this cow in question was tested 7 months ago with what they're calling an experimental test, which gave the positive. So they covered that up, okay?
Yeah.
Then they give the test they call the gold standard, which comes out negative, so they feel like they don't have to say anything. Yet they were nervous enough when information started to come out that they sent tissue samples to England for the big special super duper test.
Yeah, but Mark, the cover up is much larger,
right,
and deeper,
right,
than just this one cow. And there's a woman named Phyllis Fong, who is the Inspector General of the USDA, who insisted on this cow being retested. I think she's a real hero in this story. And last year, I wrote about this for Vanity Fair. She had an investigation done of the entire mad cow testing program in the United States. And this received very little attention in the media. And the Inspector General's office found that the entire mad cow testing program of the United States had no statistical validity and was essentially useless. And she was looking at the years 1990 to 2003. And essentially, if you read that report, it shows that they have no idea how much mad cow there is in the United
States.
But
the thing that amazes me in the cover-up is, like I was saying, I know it's a large cover-up, but it seems like they were sabotaged. Like the remains of this cow are now untraceable because it got mixed with other tissue, and they have no idea where it came from. They know it's from Texas. It just seems to me that there are all these holes in these stories that read exactly like a conspiracy.
And there, I wrote about this also. There was an animal at a processing plant that supplies McDonald's, a processing plant in Texas last year. The USDA veterinarian suspected it had mad cow disease and wanted to do a test on it. And a call was made to central USDA headquarters, and the company destroyed the animal and turned it into animal feed before it could be tested for mad cow disease. There needs to be an independent food safety agency that is separate from the control of the meatpacking industry, and not just for mad cow disease, but to protect us from salmonella and other dangerous things that can be spread by meat.
Eric, how much of the problem that we face in this country with mad cow would you attribute to just plain ignorance in terms of you know, how the disease is spread and that sort of thing, versus the idea that America tests, what, 1 out of 90 cows, while, for example, Japan tests every cow over 20 months? I mean, how much of it is a lack of knowledge? How much of it is, I guess, what you would call willful ignorance through not doing due diligence?
Unfortunately, it's not due to a lack of knowledge. I mean, in scientific circles, there's a great deal of uncertainty about this disease. But there's also a great consensus about what can be done to prevent it from entering the food supply. And unfortunately, we're testing 1 out of 90 animals, but I question the validity of any of those tests. I think we need to really start from scratch and intensively test a sample of cattle and see how extensive this disease really is. I have, as I said earlier, I have no idea how bad a problem mad cow disease is in the United States, and nobody else does. There is no one who really knows because the tests simply have not been done effectively. And at this point, I think we should be testing every animal before it's eaten. And you talk about the cover-up. There are many people in the cattle industry and many ranchers I know who want their animals tested, who are proud of the product, and the USDA is threatening criminal action against anyone who does their own mad cow tests, which is absurd. I mean, you have the principal meat safety, food safety agency in the United States threatening criminal charges against anyone who tries to make sure their meat is safe.
What's the logic there, Eric?
The logic is there's some obscure 1913 law that gives the government control over testing for various diseases, and if the government doesn't want you to do a test, you can't do the test. Now, it's interesting. They don't mind these meatpacking companies doing lots of tests for E. coli, and it's perfectly legal for a meatpacking company to test meat for E. coli, find that it's contaminated with E. coli, which can really kill children, and still sell the meat. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But if a company wants to test for mad cow disease, they can be prosecuted.
It's disturbing stuff. Eric Schlosser, I really appreciate the work you're doing. I appreciate you for talking to us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Eric. All right, buddy. Try to have a good weekend. That was Eric Schlosser, author of Fast Food Nation, The Dark Side of the All-American Meal, giving us some of the information he knows about mad cow. Again, he was careful to say, I'm not trying to initiate a panic here, but there is a problem with the administration that was put in place to protect us from this kind of stuff, because they're pimped out by the beef industry.
And you heard him say it was not a lack of knowledge, it is a lack of diligence.
It's 45 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark. Stay tuned. I think that we've got some cliff notes coming up, and maybe a little Mark the Shark action. I don't know. It usually happens today. Hang in there.
Morning's Edition on the air. MorningsEdition.com, Air America Radio.
And so call us right now. 800-430-9571. 800-430-9571.
Hey, it's 50 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Yo.
Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Let's land this thing before our big 3-day weekend, man. I tell you, buddy. Hey, wait. Let's just take this call. It's Ted in Nebraska.
Hello, Mark and Mark.
Yeah.
As usual, the liberals have completely overreacted to this so-called mad cow situation. You have no idea what's really.
Oh no! I hate when. Help me, Riley. Oh my God! Oh no! It's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh no!
From Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, neocon. 34 past the hour here on Radio Halliburton. Halliburton, our contractors make more before 6 a.m. than U.S. soldiers make in a month. So they found one cow with mad cow disease. One stupid cow gets a head cold, and now everybody's afraid of beef.
I'm a vegetarian, and I'm afraid to eat the contaminated meat like a real man. I'm afraid to get brain disease. I'd rather eat a soy burger, or a tofu burger, or an aborted fetus burger. Oops, my penis fell off. I wish I'd eaten more meat.
Take that, wavy gravy. You wouldn't bruise so easily if you had a ribeye once in a while. Now there are countries out there that won't even import American beef. Hey, Uncle Sam, you're a cowza. She's a crazia. And now I got to know a meatballs, a Madonna. So me no likey Yankee beef or stir-fried teriyaki. I go back to eat seaweed.
Your beef is like your politics. It is tainted. We will live on cigarettes and my own spittle. Magnifique.
America should just shove our beef down your ungrateful throats. Open wide, losers. You like it rare? That's good eating. Hey, it's 36 past the hour. Let's take a call. You're on the air, caller.
Limousine liberals, gun control, 300.
That's it. Right you are, caller. President Bush was right to be to tie 9/11 to Iraq. That had Saddam's orange Dorito fingerprints all over it, my
George
friend.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Hey, here's something to snack on, General Underpants. Yeah, that's good eating. Hey, it's 38 after the hour. Time for the Neocon Farm Report. American beef, you'd be crazy not to eat it. Try the brains. Stick around, Neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Wright and Early.
Whoa, man, what just happened?
Are you okay, man?
I don't. Did I pass out again?
Please get help.
It must have been that popcorn. I shouldn't have so much sugar because I black out.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. So, Riley, 4th of July, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so excited. Kayla, what do you got going, man? What do you got going this weekend?
I'm going to go to the beach, my friend.
Howard Beach?
No.
No. Yeah. Meet with your boy, Minucci?
I haven't been to Howard Beach in a couple of days.
You go on the beach all weekend? You asked me to go with you, right?
Yes,
am I right?
Yes,
am I not? What
you
day would that
invited.
Be?
I think we're going to go either Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Really? All 3 days?
Possibly, yes.
Oh, man, I got to go at least one day. I got to do something.
So you're going down the shore, Caleb?
Yeah, Point Pleasant, I believe.
Point Pleasant Beach, down the shore.
That's in Jersey. You know, I kind of grew up on the Jersey Shore. I got cousins down there, and they live in Oakhurst, so I used to go to right by Deal Beach. You know where Deal Beach is? You don't? All I remember is that we used to drive down there, and they used to say, that house used to be owned by Al Capone.
Oh.
Apparently he had a house on the Jersey Shore. Is that possible?
Oh, that's absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's go see that.
Yeah? Well, I'll have to call my aunt, who I haven't talked to in years, and ask her, hey, where's that Al Capone house? one by the beach, the Al Capone place. You are going to see some drum corps action, huh?
I'm going to see some drum corps action tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Giant Stadium.
Well, I want everybody out there to be careful, you know, and go easy on the booze if you can. Don't get yourself
hurt. Oh, don't
worry.
I won't be drinking.
Yeah, make sure you boil the water because there's a problem, at least for 24 hours here in the New York area.
Not in Jersey.
Apparently the reservoirs got too full and somehow or another poo got in them. I don't know.
Now, see, they said particles. They didn't say poo.
I know. You just be careful. Drink a bottle of water till tomorrow. If you get some stomach thing, if it gets bad, you know, go to the doctor. That's all.
It's either the water or Mad Cow, one or the other.
I'm telling you, man. I'm going to be at the Improv tonight and tomorrow, but I haven't been talking about it much.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Because when I do New York gigs, I don't want people to get their expectations up. I do like 15 minutes.
Why? You think you're going to suck or something? What do you mean that you don't want them to get their expectations up?
Yeah, bing,
you're
bing, bing.
Yeah,
exactly. I do think I'm going to suck. Here we go. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Spain's lawmakers legalized gay marriages. It'll be guilt-ridden, duty-bound, joyless, Catholic kind of marriage, but it's a start. One, on a related note, the free-to-Calo Little Chapel in the Pines is already completely booked, so you have to go somewhere else. Donald Rumsfeld says the media only shows the negative side of Iraq. He added, quote, for instance, those 1,700 Americans who died all have 3 or 4 family members that are perfectly fine. Why doesn't the media talk about them? Where's that story? A lawmaker's wayward email referred to his constituents as idiots. New York State Assemblyman Willis Stevens mistakenly sent out an email message that referred to his constituents as idiots. The reaction from his constituency was swift as they took to the street, pulled down their pants, and mashed mouthfuls of garden mulch into their mouths. Stevens immediately sent out an apology, which had the unfortunate subject line of, hey, dummy. Today's phrase, disrupt this in the conversation. Sure, facilities at Guantanamo Bay are world-class. They'll even give you a wake-up call all night long. Wake up, sheeple. That's not a mint on the pillow.
Ooh.
There you go. That's your Morning Sedition Clip Notes. Man, except where'd they hide the popcorn? Now we got the baked goods and the fruit. I'm
baked
going
goods,
nuts.
Popcorn, cherries, pineapple, you name it.
Poor P.W. McDonald's looking at me like for the past hour going, we got to take it away. He literally came in and took the sugar away from me.
Yes, he did.
If you watch Left of the Dial, yeah, that documentary, which I just did the the voiceover commentary with Randy,
yeah.
I think most of that was sugar-related hostility.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar
oh, yeah.
and caffeine. Wow, is that
M&M's.
Wow. Yeah, I'm so much better now.
You quit M&M's, haven't you?
I did. Have a good weekend, man.
Have a good weekend. We'll be back next week. We're going to have FBI whistleblower and congressional candidate Colleen Rowley, E of the rock group Eels, comedian Greg Proops, and many, many more good folks. Have a good weekend.
You too, Riley.
This is Air America Radio.
Air America.